This is Street Knowledge with Chris Graham.
Welcome to the podcast, Chris Graham and Scott German. I'm in Virginia, Scott's in Louisville. It's Friday. The second time we've talked on Friday, technically speaking, I guess. We talked early in the morning hours after Virginia's 53-49 win over Oregon in the Sweet 16. Now the Hoos are getting ready for the Elite Eight game tomorrow night. And so, Scott, you said Tony Bennett addressed the late night last night, and he had a pretty funny line about that.
Yeah, Tony, excuse me, my voice, Chris, wasn't that I was hollering, it's just I have a pretty nasty head cold. So, Tony said that it looks like we were the only team in the Elite Eight that had games on Thursday, now in the Elite Eight, that played games on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. Referring to our game last night, ending well after midnight in the Yum Center.
Yeah, after midnight Eastern time. That's the weird thing. The West Coast game was first. Ours was late. Then the game ahead of ours, the Purdue-Tennessee game, it was a classic game, 99-94 final in overtime. But it went overtime, so we were already scheduled for a 9:57 tip, and when that game went overtime, we were guaranteed to be late. And that's the second time in 5 years. The first Sweet 16 I covered, 2014, Virginia was in Madison Square Garden. That game also ended after midnight. So we are midnight warriors in that sense. And we'll get the late game tomorrow night, too. And that also throws me for a loop. Again, the West Coast game, the West Regional game, will be the first game as Gonzaga will meet Texas Tech in a game that, that Texas Tech team didn't get to watch much of that game. But just the buzzsaw that they put out on Michigan might make that Gonzaga game even more interesting. And then, of course, Virginia playing Purdue in the nightcap around, it was 8:49 or something like that, start tomorrow night. So another late night for UVA fans on a Saturday night now in the KFC Yum Center. And so, Scott, you've had some time to decompress after a long day for you. You drove all day. You got to the games late night there. Share some of your impressions on what happened last night and afterwards, the reaction in the locker room and how you think this team will be ready for tomorrow.
I think I said last night that it was a very subdued locker room, and I'm looking back, I don't know if subdued would be the best word to have used. It was businesslike. It wasn't, players running around yelling, screaming. It was, a lot of backslapping and congratulations, but the team really does give you the sense that they are very much on a mission, and they see the end result, what the end result they hope to see will be, and they're focused, they're locked in. I read a story this morning in the local Louisville Courier-Journal that talked about those last 4 minutes. There was a timeout right at the 4:15 mark. Game was tied. You could cut the tension with a knife. And that's exactly where Virginia was comfortable. Been there, done that. And they played like that. They played like that on the defensive end. Oregon did not score another field goal in those last 4 minutes and change. I think they got some free throws towards the end, and that was it. It's going to be a great matchup with Purdue, but if anyone thinks it's going to be the kind of game that we saw Purdue and Tennessee go up and down the floor with, I think they're going to be sorely wrong on that. I think Virginia's going to do what Virginia does best, and that's slow that game down, challenge every possession. And to be honest, I'm very comfortable with Virginia winning that game.
Yeah, we'll talk Virginia-Purdue in a second. In fact, I just lost Scott on the phone, so I have to call him back here as I'm talking, and we'll do that right now. But we'll talk Virginia-Purdue in a second here on the podcast. At first, though, I wanted to say, and Scott got you back here now, We'll talk Virginia-Purdue in a second. I wanted to say I had a thought last night during the game and then really after the game that I wanted to get your thoughts on too. You know, we were both in the Spectrum Center in Charlotte a couple weeks ago when Virginia lost the ACC tournament semifinal game to Florida State. And looking back on that now, I think that that game prepared Virginia for last night's game. Both Oregon and Florida State, big physical, as they call them, long athletic teams. You know, Oregon starts four guys, 6'9" or above, a big team. They keep those guys on the floor. They're not quite as offensively talented as Florida State, but they're comparable. But I thought that the way Virginia played poorly reacting to Florida State's length and athleticism 2 weeks ago, I think it maybe got them ready for last night. You know, the Florida State game, I think the Virginia team got down a little bit early in that game, not only behind in the score, but also just a little down mentally, and then couldn't dig out of that hole. I think what they learned from that game was, hey, if we play a team that plays defense like that, if we play defense the way we're supposed to play defense, we'll still beat that team. They didn't do that against Florida State, but I think the lesson learned there helped them win last night. So I guess my conclusion on that, Scott, is I don't know that Virginia wins that game last night if they didn't have that loss to Florida State. And you were in the arena for both of those games. I wanted to get your thoughts on that. I can't hear Scott, so I'm going to have to – if Scott's – oh, there you go.
That was my point. That was my point when I said that they seemed to take that – to Scott, that attitude of been there, done that. At the time out, I was sitting directly across from the desk, and the coaches did what they normally do. They grouped together as coaches for the first 30 or so seconds, and then went into the puddle, and everything, you know, did a calm little presence about the time out, and I think you're right. I think that game against Florida State in the ACC semifinals sort of gave Virginia the confidence that they needed, that they could handle what was going to have to be done the last 4 minutes of the game last night.
So now getting ready for Purdue, and I did a quick column this morning looking at Purdue and Virginia, looking at Purdue particularly for, you know, people who just watched them last night. And I have to admit, I watch a lot of basketball, but I haven't watched a lot of Big Ten basketball. And so Purdue, I haven't seen much except for what I saw last night. And, you know, I have to be honest, too, didn't really watch that game for analysis. I was watching more for when's it going to be over so our game can start. So now breaking this Purdue team down now, they're a big team, though I think that can be deceptive. Their average height on the floor, according to KenPom.com, is 78.2 inches. That's 24th nationally. That's close to where Oregon is, but you'll see that it's mostly one guy. They have their center, Matt Harms, a 7'3 sophomore, and he plays 22.4 minutes a game. But outside of him, they got a couple 6'9 guys, a couple 6'6 guys, a couple 6'4 guys, and then a couple of guards. So it's not quite the same. Even though their average height is comparable to Oregon and Florida State, it's mostly in one guy. And he's an effective guy. We'll talk about him in a second. They're a good offensive rebounding team. They're 17th nationally in offensive rebound percentage, 33.5% of their misses. Virginia's pretty good on defensive rebounding. The Hoos rebound 77.3% of their opponent's misses, 33rd nationally. So sort of two strengths going up against each other there, the defensive rebounding of Virginia, offensive rebounding of Purdue. Purdue is ranked fourth nationally offensively in KenPom.com in efficiency, but they're 28th on defense. So they're, you know, those are good numbers. The 28th is there. Virginia's third on offense, third on defense. So, you know, the two offenses certainly are very efficient. They're a team. Purdue's a team that plays a faster pace than Virginia. But then again, that would mean that they're any other team in college basketball. Virginia's ranked last in tempo, as we like it, at 59.4 possessions per game, and that's even gone down in the NCAA tournament. There were 56 possessions for Virginia last night, 55 in the win over Oklahoma last week. I don't remember the number from Gardner Webb. It was around 60 or 61. Purdue, again, 66 possessions per game. A quick on their players. Carson Edwards, you might have seen if you watched the end of the game last night. He's the big scorer for this team. He averages 23.8 a game. There's only two guys in double digits for this team. Edwards is one of them. He shoots 19.4 shots per game. That's NBA number-like. And 10.3 of them are three-pointers. And he shoots 34.6%, so it's not like it's lights out. Just shoots a lot of them. He averages 6.2 free throw attempts a game, so he does get fouled when he goes to the line or into the lane, but he doesn't go to the end of the lane any more than anybody else. For example, his percentage of his shots at the rim is close to Ty Jerome and Kyle Guy. So it's just because of his volume. He's got a tremendous volume of shots, just staggering number, if you ask me. Maybe it's because we watch a lot of Virginia. The other guy to watch for is Ryan Klein. You saw Klein last night. He had, I think it was 28 points, but he was 6 of 7 from 3 in the second half, 22 points in the second half. He averages 12.1 a game, shoots a lot of threes as well, 7.5 threes a game, 75% of his shots are threes. He's Kyle Guy from 2 years ago. Kyle has evolved, and a lot of his game now involves dribble drives and things of that nature. Klein just shoots threes. And so if you keep your clamps down on Edwards and Klein from the three-point line, you can really slow this team down. Easier said than done. They're in the Elite Eight for a reason. I mentioned Matt Harms, and then we'll get Scott here back in a second. Harms doesn't get a lot of shots because those two guys shoot the ball an awful lot. But he does average 9.5 points, 5.5 rebounds, 22.4 minutes a game. Harms shoots 80.6% at the rim, which makes sense. He's 7'3". 68.2% overall, two-point shots. He actually does shoot some threes, not as less than one a game. And he blocks two shots a game. Purdue will go 8 or 9 deep. And Scott, here are my thoughts. You watched the game last night. I got to watch the tail end of the Purdue-Tennessee game. Here are my thoughts from how Virginia matches up with this Purdue team. My opinion, Virginia should be able to get in the lane with Purdue guards. They're not known for their defense. They're sort of shoot first, ask questions later kind of guys. The question then is, what do you do if you get around your guy? And then Harms is back there. He's 7'3". I think you'll see maybe Jack Salt get some more minutes at the outset just to sort of physically match up with Harms. I think you may also see some more Jay Huff, not just because Jay's 7'1", but because Jay also can he can bring him out to the three-point line. If Jay's in the game and Harms is on him and Jay can shoot the three, then either Harms is out there on him, or if he's not, then Jay shoots the three. And if he does draw him out, then that gives it provides some driving lanes to the basket. So I think you might see more Huff tomorrow night. I still think Kihei Clark plays a big role. Kihei Clark plays a big role anyway. But what he can do with Edwards, I really think he can help slow down Edwards. Maybe some DeAndre Hunter mixed in. Maybe some Braxton Key mixed in. So there's my breakdown. And Scott, you were there last night, and you've had some time to think about it. Sort of your thoughts on these two teams and how they match up.
Having that court done for that Penn Tennessee game, it was highly entertaining. There's no doubt about it. I mean, it was a great game to watch. But we all know that if Purdue's going to win Saturday night, they're not going to win that game if Virginia's playing that style. And I believe you're right that Huff and Salt should get more playing time. First of all, they can body up the big 7'3" player for Purdue. They have some fouls to give. Purdue sucked up a lot of threes. And a lot of those threes were, I wouldn't say heavily contested. Let's see what they can do when every possession, every shot is contested. I think they're going to frustrate Purdue. But Tennessee did display a little bit of defensive intensity. It frustrated Purdue. You can see that they weren't as fluid in their passing, their ball movement, their movement without the ball. But when it looked back to a healthy stuff, a run done type of a play, Tennessee played right into Purdue's hands. So I really believe Sidney's going to match up really well, and I keep saying that, the poor shooting cannot continue forever. One of these nights, Kyle's going to come out and be Kyle Guy-like, DeAndre Hunter-like. We've won 3 games in the tournament and haven't picked the shot ball that well in any of the 3 games.
Yeah.
So eventually, the shooting's going to return, and we know the defense travels. It's always going to be there, night in, night out. I think the thing is, wins this game by 8-10 points and moves to the final four.
Yeah, you know, this I keep talking. I've been talking all season. What really made me think that this Virginia team was Final Four / National Championship worthy? We know the defense is there, and the defense has won the three games and so far to get to the stage, the Elite Eight. But what I thought made this team different was the offense. And I'm doing some quick math, 134, 187, 119, 171. So 187 divided by 184, let me see real quick. I'm just doing some real quick math on Virginia's offensive efficiency in the NCAA tournament. And as I filibuster here while I do the math on the calculator, Virginia's averaging 1.07 points per possession in the NCAA tournament, 187 points on 174 possessions. So yeah, that kind of goes in line with what you're talking about on the season. So from 1.07 points per possession during the season, Virginia averages 1.22 points per possession on offense. So yeah, they haven't had their offensive game. They've won with defense, and you know there are worse ways to win. Defense is supposed to win you games in the tournament. Whether you're a good defensive team or not, you better be able to play in the tournament if you want to win in advance. So Virginia has given up 156 points total in three games. That's 52 points a game. That's right in line with season average. And, you know, I just think that this Purdue matchup is much better matchup for Virginia than the Oregon matchup was. This Purdue team, I just think that their strengths, unfortunately for them, I think, going into it, play well into Virginia's strengths from a Virginia standpoint. You know, the two guys who shoot threes, Virginia's pack line defense is designed to sort of give you contested threes. You know, they'll see something defensively that they did not see last night from Tennessee. I think the Purdue matchup is better for Virginia than the Tennessee matchup would have been. I think Tennessee's a little more dynamic offensively, a little more diversified offensively, and could have stretched Virginia out a little differently than Purdue will. If Purdue gets hot, they'll beat anybody in the country. But I really think that our guys will be out there tomorrow night playing that good defense. And I agree with you, Scott. At some point, the offense turns around, and I think it's tomorrow night against this Purdue team that's not quite known for its defense. So I really feel like going into this game, this is the best possible matchup for Virginia in an Elite Eight situation.
Yeah, we talked last night, I believe, that American Oregon kind of maybe merit our defensive effort more than any team we've played. Oregon coming into the game last night was the hottest team in the country. I think they won 10 in a row.
Yeah.
The Big 12 championship. At that point in the season, that's when you want to be playing your best basketball. And Oregon came in playing their best basketball. So I really do believe the matchup problems, playing a team that really turned it up defensively like the Ducks did, that's going to be valuable, because I don't believe that the Cavaliers are going to see that defensive effort from Purdue on Saturday night. I certainly didn't see it against Tennessee last night.
So as we wrap up our podcast here, just going to sort of a quick podcast, getting folks ready, and then we might even try to talk again tomorrow if I can get around my baseball schedule during the day. Duke and Virginia Tech tonight, Scott. You're stuck in a hotel room in Louisville. I'll be back from my baseball game I'm leaving for here in a few minutes for VMI Sanford Baseball and ESPN3. So I'll be back before the game starts tonight. Your thoughts on Virginia Tech, Duke? We've seen these two teams play an awful lot this year. How do you think that's going to turn out?
I think Tech will keep it close through the first half, especially if they're shooting well from outside, because they do shoot threes much better than most teams do. But I believe in the second half, somewhere around the midpoint mark of the second half, the 30-minute mark of the game, the inside presence of Duke will eventually wear Tech down, and it'll lead way to maybe an 8-10-point win for the Blue Devils. I think over the course of a 40-point game, Williamson and Barrett are just going to be too much for the
Yeah, and here's my thoughts. I think Duke eviscerates Tech tonight. I don't think Tech has any answer for Williamson. Not many teams do, but Tech's particularly vulnerable to Williamson, I think. I expect Buzz to come out with a junk defense, some sort of zone or something like that, some sort of touch the paint. Everybody's in the lane kind of zone. But I think Duke's going to eat them for lunch and probably for dinner as well. So, and then North Carolina also plays tonight, Auburn. game with, featuring two teams who are fast break teams, and I think Carolina's a better fast break team. I think Carolina wins that one and moves on. So, but we'll know after tonight who the Elite Eight are. We've already got Virginia there, and that's all we care about on this podcast is that Virginia's still playing basketball tomorrow night, and we hope to have some good results there. So between now and tomorrow night, I know that there is a media availability today over at the Yum Center. I'll get the transcripts from that and post them online later today. And of course, we have this podcast, and we'll also cover tonight on AFP. We'll write a story after the Duke Virginia Tech game, just to update our readers there. Mainly because we have an interest. We play those teams. Our fan base doesn't like either one of them. So, but we'll write about it anyway and get you ready for the weekend. And Scott's going to be courtside at the Yum Center again tomorrow night. And that was probably, Scott, a pretty good experience for you. You sent me pictures on text. You had a pretty good view last night.
I did. And, Chris, you know, we've been looking throughout the first season of the Rick Charlotte tournament at the Spectrum Center down in Columbia in the first round games. And then here at Louisville. And I will say that the atmosphere around the arena, it's never been to Louisville, but the arena, the Yum Center, sits right down on the banks of the Ohio River, right into what is called the Bourbon District of Louisville, where there's all sorts of distilleries and taverns and saloons. And walking out of the arena at 1 o'clock last night, we were presented, it just was 4 a.m. in the morning or 8 p.m. at night. It was festive, it was alive, it was electric. Of the three venues that we played in so far, sorry you missed it, but this really had that college basketball feel, and they did a great job here in Louisville hosting the Sweet 16, and folks here could not put on a better phone.
Well, that sounds like my kind of place, so... Yes, alas me, I am I'm back in Virginia, but damn, that sounds like a great experience. So Scott gets to have that for another day or two, and we hope to have some good news to share tomorrow night, and I'm sure we will too. So for Scott German, Chris Graham signing off, wahoo wah.